A reading from the second letter of Paul to Timothy. Demas has deserted me for love of this life and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark to come and bring him with you. I find him a useful helper in my work. I have sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak I left with Carpus and Troas, and the scrolls, especially the parchment ones. Alexander the coppersmith has done me a lot of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. Be on your guard against him yourself, because he has been bitterly contesting everything that we say. The first time I had to present my defense, there was not a single witness to support me. Every one of them deserted me. May they not be held accountable for it. But the Lord stood by me and gave me power, so that through me the whole message might be proclaimed for all the pagans to hear. And so I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from all evil attempts on me and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory for ever and ever. Amen. The Gospel is from St. Luke, chapter 10. The Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out ahead of him in pairs to all the towns and places he himself was to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is rich, but the laborers are few. So ask the Lord of the harvest to send laborers to his harvest. Start off now, but remember, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Carry no purse, no haversack, no sandals. Salute no one on the road. Whatever house you go into, let your first words be, 'Peace to this house.' And if a person of peace lives there, your peace will go and rest on them. If not, it will come back to you. Stay in the same house, taking what food and drink they have to offer, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not move from house to house. Whenever you go into a town where they make you welcome, eat what is set before you. Cure those in it who are sick and say, 'The kingdom of God is very near to you.'" Can you imagine someone coming to your home and saying to you, "Hi, just letting you know that the president, or the king or the queen, is coming up the path to see you. He has some great news for you, and he wants to ask you if you would be willing to help him run the country so that everyone is perfectly happy and at peace." Wouldn't you be astounded? It'd be all the more amazing if you were terribly poor and lived in misery. And yet that's exactly the message the 72 disciples are told that they are to take to the people out there. That's the essence of that extraordinary phrase. It has various translations, but the one I like is, "The kingdom of God is very near to you." Wow. Now, the disciples may not use Jesus' exact words when they preach, but there is no doubt about the message. God is here for you. God wants you to be a part of a new world of justice and peace. Not sometime in the dim, dark future, but right now, right this moment. All you've got to do is to say yes to God. Now, you can tell that the writer of this gospel, St. Luke, felt a great sense of urgency as he described this occasion. Notice the instructions. No luggage, no stopping to chat with anyone on the road. Just go and begin the work quickly. Why the urgency? Well, the task is a big one. That's why 72 disciples are mentioned. That's how many nations in the world, according to Jewish understanding. So they'd better get on with the job. Of course they will meet resistance and lack of interest and antagonism. Think again about that early image of the president or the king walking up your path to ask you to join him in running the country. Just imagine how all the politicians and business people would react to that. So, expect opposition, but don't be put off, Jesus tells them. Just move on. Plenty of other people and places to take the good news to. And you and I are part of that group of disciples Jesus commissioned to take the good news to people wherever they are. Whatever their nation, maybe it's our neighborhood, our family, our workplace, our classroom, our apartment building. People are there. Sure, some won't want to hear the news. Some will get angry or bored if you try to talk religion. Recently, a little old lady in a city told me about the prostitutes she saw hanging around her neighborhood regularly. She wanted to reach out to them, but how? She knew it was no use appealing to them to give up their awful trade. In the end, she decided the best thing she could do was just to smile at a girl each day and maybe move on to saying hello and maybe even a cup of coffee. I think she was being one of the 72 disciples just by doing that. And I think she was brave in taking on that task. It's not easy taking the good news to those who don't want to hear it. Just look at St. Paul in that first reading from Timothy. He's in jail, and after all the years of hard work he has put into building the Christian communities all around the Mediterranean, he has been virtually abandoned. One by one, his supporters have left him. Only Luke has remained faithful in this most terrible of times. And yet, as Paul languishes in prison, he remains utterly confident that God has made good use of him to proclaim the good news to the various people he has visited and written to and guided. And he knows that he has played his role as a disciple well.